invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 49. You heard me right. We're going to be in a psalm this morning, Psalm chapter 49. And if you know me, I like to do unique passages on holidays, and this is no different. We're actually going to be in a psalm on Resurrection Sunday. And the reason is because this is one of the few clear places in the Old Testament about resurrection. And of course, I'm going to connected with Christ's resurrection in the end. But let's see what it beholds for us this morning. I'll begin by reading it to you, Psalm 49. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, and the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they call lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Selah. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Selah. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases, for when he dies he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him, for though while he lives he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. One pastor talks about a time that he was looked at this painting. He saw this picture of this old burned out mountain shack, and all that remained was the chimney. And it was the charred debris of what had been the family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home was a grandfather looking man, and he was dressed only in his underclothes. And he was with a small boy who was clutching a pair of patched overalls. And it was evident that the child was crying. And beneath the words, the artist wrote what he felt were the words that the man was speaking to the boy. And they were simple words. And yet they presented profound theology and philosophy of life. Those words were, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." Amidst all of the pain and loss and death in this world, what a great reminder of the hope that we have. As a Christian, we need prompts like that. We need continual reminders that even if we lost everything in this world, we still have hope. And in our passage this morning, there is this beam of hope shining forth amidst this psalm, in this Old Testament psalm, because it's going to show us where our hope in life and death is found. Look there how it starts, verses 1 and 2. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. And then it goes on talking about how he's going to speak truth and understanding. He's going to solve a riddle. And so we see here in the verses 1 through 4, he's saying, pay attention, everyone. Wisdom and truth are here. Pay attention. Have you ever been sitting in the airport waiting to board the plane? And all of a sudden, the airport employee gets on the loudspeaker and says, may I have everyone's attention? Right? And they're sharing important details that everyone must heed and hear. They have critical information to disperse. Everyone must pay attention. Well, in a much bigger, more important way, it's like the psalmist is grabbing a megaphone and sharing this important information with everyone in the world. You see that? Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world. This message is important. Heed it. Do not neglect this message. It's vital. This message is for everyone. All people, low and high, rich and poor. Doesn't matter your social or economic status, right? Hear this message. And this is a reminder that the truth of God's word is for all people, right? It's not just for some small group. It's not for a social elite. It's not for just the financially well off. God has a message for all people, each and every inhabitant of the world. The Bible has a message the whole world needs to hear. So no matter if you're 3 or 93, no matter if you have $3 in your bank account or 3 million, the Bible has an important message for everyone. Its truth goes out to all. You know, some people act like, oh, Christianity, that's a Western, that's a white man's religion, or it's only for those super religious people. But these verses show us something different, don't they? It's like the psalmist is saying, everyone needs to hear this, no matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is. It's eternally important. And so that means for you, dear listener, this message is for you, right? It's important for you to hear. Doesn't matter your age, your past, your current social standing, anything like that. Truth and understanding are here in God's Word. It is God's truth that gives us the wisdom and understanding that we need. And so we see truth comes from outside of us, comes from God, God and His Word. It doesn't come from within. I think we're all looking for truth. No one's out there saying, I'm looking for lies, right? No, I'm looking for truth, right? I'm looking for wisdom, not folly. I'm looking for understanding, not ignorance, right? It's found in God's Word. It's found in the Scriptures. No longer search for it in yourself. You're not going to find it there. You will be disappointed time and time again because you know you fail. You know your knowledge isn't perfect. No longer search for it in the world. You know you won't find it there. Look at all the problems in the world. You think they have the answers? It's God's wisdom and understanding that are true wisdom and understanding. And they solve the riddles of life. You see, they are the riddles the psalmist will solve as you go on is really, I believe, two. Is one of them is, why do the rich seem to prosper, the righteous seem to languish? But also, there's another one. And the other one is that what can redeem our lives from death? And so as you can see, you think about those things, you see God's truth has the answers to the most important questions of life. They are matters of life and death. So pay attention. Give ear. Hear this, everyone who is listening this morning. But what is it that God wants us to know? So after saying, hey, pay attention, hear this, everybody, every inhabitant of the world, what does he want us to know? Number two, riches and possessions cannot ransom your life from death. This is one of the main messages of the psalm. The psalmist will pound this home to the hearts of every single person. He makes it ultra clear. It will describe in great detail, with great repetition, the lack of power that wealth has to ransom your life, to save you from death. Because you think about in this life, so many people are so much about money, 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 and stuff, 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 and they spend their lives seeking more, spending more, and their whole lives revolve around the next thing they can get or gaining some more cash. But what a sad way to live. People work their lives away for a little bit extra money. People do some sinful things all to get that next item on their Amazon wish list. But what about you? What is your life about? Are you all about money, about the next thing? How much of your life is driven by these things? Do not be fooled by their sparkly appeal. Because the Word of God shows us riches are limited in what they can really do for you. Do you realize that? Because you think about it this way, when you are breathing your final moments in this life, riches will not save you on your deathbed. Riches won't give you eternal life. Right? You can't say to God, okay, God, I'm at my final moments, but if I give you all of my money, can you help me live forever? No, it doesn't work that way, right? The currency to buy eternal life is not money. It's not anything you own. So what good will money and possessions and things do when you have your final moments in this earthly life? Because you think, yeah, riches may redeem a lot of things in life, but they cannot redeem your life from death. And you see the psalmist sort of struggling through this idea of the wicked rich and pressing him and doing some things, being wicked, and they're seeming to prosper, but he reassures his heart with truth. Look there in verses 5 to 7. Why should I fear in times of trouble? When the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches, truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. He's saying there's no need to truly fear or fret over the wicked wealthy who trust in their abundance because they ultimately won't be victorious. Yeah, they have quote-unquote success in winning, but it's short-lived. We don't need to fear them in the long run. Because often we can look around us and we think that the rich and powerful who are corrupt and they seem to be getting away with everything, we think that they will triumph. The wicked will triumph and they oppress others. They seem to skirt justice and we can sometimes feel hopeless against them. We think, you know, look at my resources. I could never go up against them and win. But God reminds us they won't ultimately win. Their wealth won't do them any good in eternity. And so, yes, they seem to be victorious, but it's temporary. It's only short-lived. It's only good in this short life. Death will come calling, and when it comes calling, all their valuables will be as dust. So we do not fear the wealthy and the powerful and the well-off who do wickedly against us and the evil around us and the people who seem to be getting away with all that. We do not have to fear them. And so it reassures us we don't have to fear them, but it also challenges us with how do we view money and possessions and things. It teaches us riches and possessions are temporary. They're limited. They do no eternal good in themselves. Like, you can't trust them with your soul, right? You can't. And yet so many people look for money and possessions for the security. They think they can find security in it. They think, if only I can have a little bit more, I will be secure. And then they get a little more, and they say, okay, a little bit more, and then I will be at ease. And it keeps going. But riches, they bring no spiritual eternal good and eternal security in themselves. He says, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. Our lives are too costly to be ransomed with money, with any other material thing. Because we see in Scripture, because of our sin, we deserve death. Wages of sin is death, right? Without Christ, we're under condemnation. We're under the penalty of our sin. You can't pay God off with some cash. You can't pay Him off with some valuables. It will never be enough because you have sinned against the holy Creator God. It's sort of like a murderer on death row, right? No amount of money will cause the judge to say, okay, he can go free. You paid enough money. No, he'd be a corrupt judge, wouldn't he? Right? The murderer deserves to be dealt justice, to be dealt with according to his crime, which is death. And so also, every one of us, each sinner deserves, this is of course without Christ, deserves eternal death because we have sinned against the eternal, glorious, perfect, holy God who made us. Your money will not suffice. Your knowledge, your social standing, your family's history, your good works, they all fall short of measuring up to the cost of your life. You could even add all of those up, and all of them combined would be like a feather on one side of the scale and an elephant on the other. It wouldn't help. It doesn't do anything. Your life is too costly, too steep for you to pay with anything that you possess. And the psalmist wants you to feel the weight of this reality. And I want you to feel the weight of this reality. All people die, and your bank account number, your good works, your possessions, anything else that you have, does you no good in eternity. As verse 10 says, for he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. When you die, your money goes to someone else. Who knows what they're going to do with it? Why trust in riches? Right? Why spend your life for money and things and stuff? Nothing in this world will save your life. Because death is a great leveler. It brings the rich down to the same level as the poor. They perish like the beasts. Even verse 11 mentions that, hey, it doesn't matter if they have lands named after them, their grave is their home when they die. That land that may be named after you, it's going to go on without you. Your wealth, your honor, your fame in this life, they're going to perish. So how could we, in light of this, be all about the here and now? How could you be about the here and now of your fame and your recognition and your wealth and possessions or anything like that? They do you no good in eternity. As verse 13, the psalmist says, this is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. You see what he's saying there? If you trust in things, if you trust in riches and possessions or anything you have, you are a fool. You are trusting in things that are not reliable. You have foolish confidence. You may have confidence, but it's foolish. It's not based in truth. And the foolish confident, they may look self-assured, right? Man, you look at them and they seem so confident in what they believe and calm and cool-headed and composed, but God reveals the truth. They are fools on the path to death. That's what he says. Fools on the path to death. And there's many people who approve of their words. Guess what? He says they're on the same path. There are a lot of self-confident people in this world. They trust their wealth, their things, their selves. Their image is crafted to appeal. Their words are spiced up to entice. They even may gather large crowds of followers who approve of every word they say. They are considered the influencers of this world. People share and retweet and spread what they say all over the place. They make it seem like they have the answers. But the Bible is showing us, if they trust in themselves, if they trust in their wealth, and they trust in anything other than God, they are only going down the wrong path and leading other people down it. That's what it's showing us. Trust in things other than God to save your life. You are on the path of death. Without God, you are on the path of death. There's no other way around that truth. The Bible is ultra clear about it. You cannot trust anything for eternal security outside of God. Wealth cannot redeem you. Possessions won't bring you security. Your good works fall short being able to save you. This is the message every single person in the whole world needs to hear. Without God's intervention, you are hopeless. You're hopeless without God. Those things won't save you. They do no good in eternity. In fact, without God, the psalmist in verse 14, listen to what it says, like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. That is a striking and strong statement, isn't it? He's saying, you trust in things other than God, you are like sheep headed to the grave. On that path to the grave, to death. It's like you're walking on this path towards death, and it has this image of death as your shepherd who is shepherding you there. Instead of God leading you through the valley of the shadow of death, death is your shepherd leading you to the grave. You trust in your wealth and your possessions and your gift or talents and your good works, anything like that. It is like you are trusting death to shepherd you instead of God. People don't think that way, but this is true. The Bible is showing us this is true. Because in your final moments in this life, these things will not matter. You're not going to think, I wish I would have gotten that new car last week. You're not going to be thinking, I wish I got that extra $1,000. No, what will matter in your final moments is what happens after those moments. Is what will happen in eternity. That's what's going to matter. Do a brief search online about riches and wealth, and you're going to find a lot of stuff. You're going to find a lot of videos. You're going to find a lot of articles. You're going to find, hey, powerful secrets to getting rich and tips to get rich quick and hidden habits to get the rich life and how to become a millionaire, and they act like these things are the most important critical things in life, but they are not. They are not. The most important critical message for all people is what God is showing us today. These things cannot deal with your life after death. It can't. So hear this. Everyone who hears my voice, give ear, all inhabitants of Clearfield and beyond. Do not ignore this reality. Do not disregard it. Do not close off your ears to this all-important message. It is so important. There's a story of this director of a medical clinic, and he talks about this terminally ill young man, and he comes in for his normal, typical treatment. And this new doctor who was on duty casually and cruelly said, "You know, don't you, that you won't live out the year?" And as the young man left, he stopped by the director's desk and he just wept. And he said, "That man took away my hope." And the director said, "I guess he did, but maybe it's time to find a new one." And let me tell you this morning, the Bible may have taken away your hope in riches, in possessions, in something else in yourself, but that's because it's time to find a new one. It's time to find a new one. You need a sure hope. And your sure hope is this: only God can ransom your life from death. That is the hope that you need. There's this one verse, this small verse in this whole psalm, and it comes in and it shines like this diamond just laying in the dirt, and it shines forth. Because amidst all of this talk of death and men die and no one can redeem his own life, there is this amazing statement in verse 15. It says, "But God." What a more glorious thing to hear. Because we have felt the weight of this psalm, haven't we? I mean, people are on the path of death and we perish like the beast. Oh, man. We all die and our things can't save us. Man, we can't even redeem our own selves. We can't do anything but God. Verse 15. But God. In our hopelessness and in our despair, those two words are like this lifeline of hope that we need. Like every single soul in the universe needs to hear those glorious words. Because when you're going through the trial so great, you don't know what to do, you can remember, "But God." When you're going through your hardest, saddest moments of life and all seems lost, "But God" should come to your mind. When you're breathing your final earthly breaths in this world, you can say, if you trust in Jesus, verse 15, "But God will ransom my soul from death." That's our hope. You cannot redeem your own life, too costly, but God can. But God. And for the person who trusts in Him, you're not only able to say God can, you can say, like the psalmist, "God will." He will ransom my soul. Isn't that such amazing grace, such an amazing sure hope? It's because the Bible has shown us throughout its pages, we deserve to die eternally without God. We deserve to remain in the grave forever. We deserve to be shepherded by death. But God redeems and ransoms our soul from death. And He's the one who shepherds us through that valley of the shadow of death to life forevermore. Those who trust in God, we do not have a foolish confidence. We do not have a foolish confidence that takes us on the path of death. But we have God confidence that takes us on the path of life. And that means you can have hope. You can have confidence in your eternity, not based on your wealth or your possessions or your good works or talents or gifts, but based on the great "But God" statement here. God will ransom my soul. He's saying, remember, he's saying, no man can ransom, but God will ransom. What is he saying? God does the work of redemption. You don't. God does. He does the ransoming of our lives, not us. This is what he's done through Christ. We deserved eternal death, forever to be condemned, so much more. We couldn't ransom our lives with anything. But God chose, out of love, to send his Son. his own son to come to this earth, to take on flesh, to become one of us as our representative. He lived the perfect life, died in our place to ransom us from that penalty of death. He ransomed us by dying for us. He rose again, conquering sin and death, assuring that we too will someday be raised. This is how we are ransomed. This is how we can be redeemed from the power of Sheol. It's only because of what Jesus did on the cross and how he then conquered the grave. It's only because of him. Think of what Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Because of Jesus, because of God then raising him from the dead, we have hope because of our union with him through faith. And as Paul reassures us elsewhere, he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. God will redeem and take us to himself. You see there, verse 15, "For he will receive me." Really, the word is really more so of taking us to himself. Think about the same word as how Enoch was taken, right? Taken by God to be with him forever. Death is not the end. Eternal life is through Christ, who paid the ransom, dying in our place for our sin, rising again. That's what we celebrate today. And we have hope. For because of his death and resurrection, we can know and proudly say, verse 15, "God will ransom my soul from death, for he will receive me." And so as the psalm finishes out in verses 16 to 20, it reminds us, hey, don't fear the wicked. Don't fear them. They don't have a sure hope, but you do. You do. He carries nothing away when he dies. His glory just goes down with him. He thinks he's blessed. He gets praised by others. But his end is sure. But if you trust in Christ alone to save you, you have a sure hope. You have something eternally valuable that makes all of these temporary riches and possessions look like dust in the wind. You have something such more valuable than anything this world can offer you. You have the hope of resurrection life because Christ died and was risen for you. And in the end, the tables will turn. The prideful and arrogant wicked ones who trusted in their wealth and they dealt wickedly in this life, the tables will be turned. For in verse 14, he says, "The upright shall rule over them in the morning." There is a glorious morning coming. When Christ comes again, all will be made right. Our bodies resurrected and we will reign with Christ forevermore. That is our hope. Christ and Christ alone. You see, our future hope is not found in anything else but our Lord. You cannot ransom your own life from death. You cannot. You cannot. Get that? You cannot, but God can. And God will ransom from the dead those who trust in Christ alone. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message that is eternally important, which all people everywhere need to hear and heed. And that means you need this message. You need to respond to this message if you haven't. And as we think about this message of the gospel and how only God can ransom our life and from death and how he is our only hope, so many people hear the message of the gospel and they think, "Oh, sorry, not now, maybe next time." But you don't know what tomorrow brings. Some people say, "I've got too many things to think about, but what's more important than life and death?" And others say, "No, I'm good, I'll pass." But it's because they're only thinking about the here and now. But what is your response? Your response to this message? Is it rejection of Christ and trust in self and trust in good works, trust in riches and trust in possessions or anything like that? Or is it trust in Christ alone who did the work of redemption for you? He ransoms our lives through his death and resurrection. So when you are laying on your deathbed, what will be your hope? What will you be thinking about? It's going to be eternity. And he is our hope in life and death. A little over a month before he died, they say that the famous atheist Jean-Paul Sartre declared that he so strongly resisted feelings of despair by telling himself, "I know I shall die in hope." But then, in profound sadness, he would add, "But hope needs a foundation." Praise be to God, our hope has a foundation. The ransom that Jesus paid for our lives on the cross, the powerful resurrection from the dead, and all those who simply trust in Him and Him alone are ransomed, forgiven, set free, saved, and given eternal life. Is Christ your hope in life and death? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we think about this passage this morning, this psalm, and Lord, it was weighty at first as we think about how short life is and how we can't really do anything to ransom our lives from death. But Lord, it has led us to see the hope and the truth in this passage that You can ransom us through Christ. And He is our hope. And I pray this morning, if there's someone here who has never trusted in Christ, to trust, to repent of their sins and trust in Him alone so that they can have a sure hope. As they know, as we know, these things that in this world, like riches and possessions and all that, will fade away. But what remains is Your Word. And I just pray that each one would reflect upon our own hearts, and that we would also just look to You in hope and confidence, knowing that Christ, and remember what Christ has done on the cross and in their grave, how He conquered sin and death and lives forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.